Hey loyal 3 Men and a Beard listeners, if you've gone ahead and downloaded this podcast, first of all, you have impeccable taste. But also, why not check out all the other great NBA content on multiplesources.net? Also, if you feel like you can contribute to our growing network, whether it be with original articles, or you've always wanted to start a podcast of your own, contact the show at 3menandbeard13@gmail.com, and we'll get you in touch with the head honcho. Now enough with the shilling, and let's get on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to 3 Men and a Beard, the Houston Rockets podcast for the 1st of September 2016. We're a multiple sources podcast, and as always, I'm Jazz. Today, I'm joined by Jeff. How's it going, man?
Can't complain.
And I'm also joined by Max. How's it going?
Going well.
It's been a while, guys. Like, I think it's been maybe about a month and a half since we did our last show. A little bit's happened, but anything really interesting happened with you guys in this month that we've been away?
Are you talking about just like in like our regular lives or like basketball related? I'm not quite sure.
Anything fun.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, nothing crazy. I mean, like the Olympics happened, but we're probably going to talk about that.
Nice. How about you, Max?
We did talk about my move to Dallas last podcast. So really nothing. In the news of Dallas and me living here now as a Houston sports fan, Tony Romo went down with another injury, which everybody knew he was going to. The matter was when. So on a personal note, I've taken great pleasure in talking to and watching the people of Dallas collectively crumble in their hopes and dreams, and now they're getting really hyped about their backup quarterback, who's also going to crash and burn. Just because that's the Dallas way, and I'm going to love every minute of being here for football season. And it'll be a great precursor to what will happen to the Mavericks the next season on what is probably Dirk's farewell tour.
Yeah, he's getting up there. I'll enjoy that a lot. I was kind of worried because I was like, who the hell is Tony Romo? And then I was like, oh, I got the context clues. It must be football.
Yeah.
I got there eventually. I guess for me, just it's pretty much the same. Just waiting to see if any interesting happens for the Rockets. But on a very side note, I have not really said anything about my personal life, but like just a little bit. I watch basketball, but I've never played it before in my life, and I decided to with a couple of friends just to go down to the local court. And at the start, I was very terrible. We just like chucked up a bunch of 3-pointers. And I went like 250, so that was a good experience on my first go at a basketball court.
Yeah, I mean that sounds like the big bucks, so I don't know.
I was gonna say, sounds like you could stand in for Corey Brewer.
Ah, yes, what I said, you probably would be better.
I mean, that's okay. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not an improvement, but I mean, anyways, like that's.
It's about replacement level. The point is Jazz would take a severe pay cut, and we'd be able to make more moves. So
okay, I guess.
No,
I see where you're going with this.
I definitely want to take a chunk of the salary cap. And you can trade me whatever you want.
Play for the minimum. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
I'll take a veteran minimum. Anything is better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, isn't the veteran minimum like $3 million or $2 million or something like that at this point? I mean, that's not too bad.
Oh, that'll set me up for ages. Yeah. And I'll just go down with injury first game of the season. Anywho, getting into a little bit of the notes. I guess firstly, we wanted to maybe do a little bit of an Olympic recap. I guess before we get like stuck into any of like the real like nitty gritty details, what were you guys' Olympic experiences? Did you guys watch a ton of it, or like how'd you go with that?
I mean, me personally. Like, I think I only watched, like, the semifinal game, and then, what was it, the semifinal, the U.S. versus Spain, wait, was it Spain, or, semifinals versus Spain, and then I watched, like, the first quarter of, like, the finals versus, like, was it Serbia, or I forget who they were playing, and then it kind of turned into a blah, and I'm just like, okay, you know, this is, we all know where this is going, but I mean, I did, like, follow, like, you know, because I mean, I like listen to a lot of like sports podcasts, and they were all talking about like the Olympics and how you know there were so many close calls and stuff like that. So, That was kind of how I followed the Olympics.
And how about you, Max? Did you like follow up pretty closely, or were you just like it's here and gone?
So anytime I would go to like the lunchroom at work, I would be I would see like water polo or something on usually. And that's about the extent of all the Olympics I watched of everything.
Yeah, like I caught a couple of the USA basketball games, just like because obviously with so many stars that you think they'll probably be like putting on beatings down on every team that really came into the competition. But I was, as much as everyone, surprised that at the first few games they weren't really gelling as a team, and I kind of expected just like lob passes to DeAndre Jordan all day, but it was a little bit messy for the first couple of games. Do you guys see any of the highlights of the first games where there was kind of like not as much cohesion as you kind of would have liked with that team?
Well, all right, I didn't see like the highlights, but I mean, I kind of because like I guess when you mentioned that, oh yeah, let's do like a podcast where we talk about the Olympics, you know, this time, and I'm like, okay, well now I'm gonna like look back into like, you know, how they've been doing in general as a team, you know, this year versus like, you know, 4 years ago, and especially if you look at the differences in the teams, like the makeup of the team, it's like, I mean, well, obviously like LeBron isn't on this team and he was on the 2012 team, but then you have guys like, what was it? Chris Paul and like what is it? Darren Williams. Like, and Darren Williams like actually used to be like a decent point guard, so I think he was still like an all-star back then. So this was before he kind of like trailed off, you know, in his career. And like those are two guys that are both like good defensively and can, you know, shoot the three and, you know, and like pass the ball and all that stuff. And so, and I mean, Kyrie Irving is like a pretty good point guard, but I guess just like defensively, you know, he just doesn't have the same, you know, talent that guys like Chris Paul and Darren Williams had, you know, in 2012. So that was like one of the big differences. So, I mean, that, but, you know, I mean, I guess like we still won the gold this year. So it's not like, you know, that's like the one thing to talk about is like, okay, we, you know, we didn't win by as much this year. So, you know, you talk about those things.
Yeah, I know like everyone was like talking about the US team where they're just saying, oh, they're not blowing everybody out. This isn't a good team anymore. Like Coach K needs to step down, although I think he was anyway. But then they still beat them. But like I guess it's just because they didn't blow them out doesn't mean they're not a good team. It's just that like really this is a group of guys only get together for maybe like a couple months out of the year, like whereas international teams probably spend more of their time together. So I guess it was expected, but I guess with guys like Durant and Jordan, you kind of really you really want them to just like blow them out. But well, I guess it was for me, it was just a little bit of overreaction. Like this team is still good. It's just that, as I said, they don't really spend too much time together.
Yeah, I mean that's, yeah, and I mean it's just, I mean again, like I got to go back to the point where like a lot, I mean especially like LeBron James, I mean I kind of like glossed over him not being there, but like, and I don't know if I guess he just kind of decided like, okay, this is, you know, like I'm done with the Olympics or something, and I mean he's getting up there in age, you know, like passing 30, so I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to blame him, you know, if he wants to, you know, skip an Olympics or two, but I mean, yeah, we were missing guys like him. Obviously, you know, Durant and like Carmelo Anthony, you know, they can score, but you know, compared to 4 years ago, I mean, yeah, we were missing a lot of guys, so it's kind of expected that we're not going to win by as much.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Like, I was kind of like when Harden said that he wasn't coming to the Olympics, I was kind of worried because like why wouldn't you want to get that little bit of extra work in the summer? But I guess like looking at it a different way, I was kind of relieved that like maybe like I hope that he doesn't get injured. So like if he just sticks to his like regular training regimen, then that's fine with me. And like I'd rather not see him go to the Olympics and like I don't know suffer some kind of dramatic injury to start the season. But I was
Yeah,
cool with that anyway.
that would, because I think that happened to Durant like during like a practice, you know, for like some like, you know, it wasn't the Olympics, but it was like the, you know, whatever it was 2 years ago, like FIBA championship or something. So I mean, that I guess it does happen. It's not like common, but like, you know, I guess you know, no risk is better than, you know, some risk. So I mean, but I mean, I do remember like it was, I guess it was like 2 years ago that, you know, he took part in that, like, you know, I guess it was like the FIBA World Cup or whatever it was. And I mean, he did, you know, he ended up having like the season he had 2 years ago where, came out, firing and was like almost the MVP. So that was kind of where I was like, okay, it kind of sucks that he doesn't want to do it, but I mean, he obviously has his reasons, I don't know. I can't blame him for that.
Yeah, fair enough.
My last point on the Olympics is that the entire Olympics is just a really a big, it's like a big victory lap for the USA in terms of basketball. We dominate. We send our fourth best guys at each position and dominate. We, we're not sending our best and brightest, as Donald Trump would say. And we're still just destroying people. You can see they're not even really trying. Like you said, they're not being cohesive, whatever. And then the media in the United States has nothing to talk about because it's the Olympics and nobody really likes the Olympics. Just kind of watch it because it's on 24/7. And so it's like manufactured coverage, like, oh, the USA might not beat everybody by 50 this year. What's wrong with USA? Or are the other teams catching up? No, they're not really catching up. We're really dominant. I think it's kind of a manufactured thing. I wish we would send our college guys again, make it, more interesting.
Ooh, that would actually be really cool. Like, I don't know too many of the college guys, but just like maybe have like a team, like a half squad of NBA guys and like half of the team is college guys. That would actually be really cool.
No, I want all the squad college guys. We had a rule for a while that professional players couldn't go to the Olympics, and that was when we finally didn't win the gold medal once.
And then they said never again.
Then the next year was the dream team, quote unquote, the most overhyped, over embellished team, the most overrated team of all time, the quote unquote dream team. There was a lot of really amazing players on that team. There was a lot of really over the hill guys that were amazing players in their career on that team. And I mean, that team probably wouldn't beat the Golden State Warriors from this year. It wouldn't beat the Cavs from this year. The teams that play in the NBA together as a unit all year are just that there is a lot to be said of that. And just the way that those people, get the ball and play as a team and run plays, et cetera. I think that's my one big beef with the Olympics every year. Everybody wants to compare everybody to the Dream Team. The Dream Team wasn't even that great.
That's what they should do. They should just send the Golden State Warriors to the Olympics and then just destroy everybody.
Yeah, what if you just send the NBA champion? That'd be cool. Either send the NBA champion or all rookies or all college players. I would be down with any of those.
I guess since I'm in Australia, I guess the Australian part of the Olympics was not as successful as the US. We did finish fourth, so we missed out on a medal. And I think if we had gotten even the bronze, it would have been the first time that we had ever actually got a medal in the Olympics. So that would have been cool, but unfortunately, that wasn't to be. We ended up losing to Spain 88-89, so they ended up getting the bronze. But we did pretty well this year. We actually had a good group of guys. We got like Patty Mills, Andrew Bogut, and Dellavedova, just to name a few. Those are actually probably our stars for the game. So not like the marquee names like your DeAndre Jordans or your Kevin Durant, but it was definitely a better showing than we had really ever had in the Olympics before, since like the days where we had Andrew Gaze. So I thought it was pretty good. I caught a couple of games, but like I didn't, as it's the same with you guys, like the Olympics don't really interest me. So I caught a couple, but as I said, I'm proud of the guys, and maybe next time we do a little bit better. Maybe we can even get a medal. So that'll be cool.
I remember hearing about I think it was like Ben Simmons is like was the number one pick that he chose
right.
Not to, like, because he's like, he would have been on the Australian team. And then I'm trying to think of the other, like the guy that plays for Utah that wasn't there either. Or is it like Exum or something? Is he like,
yeah, Dante Exum.
Or was he, so he wasn't there either. So they kind of have like a mix of guys that like in the future, that's going to turn into a solid team, it looks like.
I have a feeling that Exum is still injured. And I wasn't surprised that Simmons bowed out this year, because I guess coming into his first season, maybe he would rather just focus on that. But definitely in 2020, I think he'll him and Exum will play.
I mean, really, because I mean, I think like there was like a lot of hype around like Ben Simmons being like a. I mean, maybe he's not like a LeBron James, you know, level type of guy, but like, real, like a solid, you know, like a solid player, you know, for you know basketball. So I mean, that you know, in terms of like Olympics, you know, that you know, that's definitely gonna you know add to the team. So I don't know, it should be. And I mean, like a lot of the foreign teams are kind of like catching up. I think what is it like Argentina is. They're kind of like getting up there in age, like because I think like Ginobili's not going to be there, and maybe Scola won't be playing anymore. But you know, so I mean, maybe they're like on the you know, like the downward slope or something. But you know, you have like a lot of like other teams that I mean, I still think the USA is probably going to you know it'll probably be a while before like any of these teams are like serious competition. But I mean, you do have a bunch of these other teams that you know are going to you know might steal a game you know every now and then or you know. Or even, you know, win the whole thing even. I mean, that, you know, one day, I mean, that's, you know.
But listen to what you're saying, Jeff, that these role players on NBA teams will all get together and somehow beat, you know, Kevin Durant and the gang or whoever we throw out there. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why I say, like, okay, like, for now, like, I think if we were to, like, make a bet for, like, the next, like, two or three Olympics or the next, like, you know, like 10 years of like international like basketball, you know, the US will probably be, you know, favored to win, you know, most of, or all of those. Like, it'd be a pretty good bet that US will be favored to win all of those. But like, I mean, the gap is like closing, I would think. I mean, you kind of see, I mean, especially if you look at like, you know, 10 years ago versus now versus, you know.
In talent disparity around the world, yeah, it's closing. But the fact remains is that these guys are playing when you get the Australian team, it's like five NBA players and then seven players or whatever. And I'm probably being, you know, very, very generous with this. It's probably two NBA players and then 10 dudes that play, you know, basketball in the Australian league or whatever. If you got 12 guys that were all from X country that is not America and you played them year round, they could probably beat the United States team. But the problem is they're going to practice for a month with a bunch of guys that are mostly scrubs and they're not the best NBA players anyway. They're not going to beat the freaking, you know, the Olympic team for the United States. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I guess it was a little bit exciting this year because when Australia and the US did play, we actually, I think we came in with a lead coming into the fourth, but then obviously you guys like took us over and I think ended up beating us by like 10 or something. But it was close there for a second because I think like the main analysis that I saw was that the US was running like a ton of ISO basketball, whereas like the Australian and I think the other team that came close, I'm not sure which one it was, they were playing actually more like set plays. So like, well, while I agree that there is like a huge talent disparity in terms of like the amount of NBA guys on the US team to the other countries, the like the organization for some of the other teams was kind of what they were banking on to see if they could maybe knock off the US guys. But I agree that it's like it's going to be hard to knock them off in future Olympics. But like there, I think there are other ways to maybe give them a little bit of a challenge.
Maybe make it to where the United States is not allowed to shoot threes or something.
that would be good. That would be good.
Or give we can 4 just points for non-United States threes.
Yeah, we don't make a ton of them.
If you can dunk it over an NBA center, then you get 3 points.
I would love to see, Joe Ingles try to dunk over DeAndre Jordan. It wouldn't end
but,
well.
But Dwight Howard doesn't count because anybody can dunk over that guy.
Can you jump over a trash can? Because that would probably be the same thing.
Yeah, basically.
Wow, that joke fell flat.
I didn't get it at first.
Yeah, oh, okay. I was like, wait a second.
But now I realize that Dwight Howard is the trash can. Now I get it. It was good.
Be the trash can.
So you have to go for extremely lowbrow jokes when you're dealing them to Jeff and I because we don't have the mental capacity to get it that quickly. So when you want show cohesion, you got to go real lowbrow.
Okay, we'll do. I'll remember that for future episodes. I guess, like, unless there's anything else you wanted to really bring up about the Olympics, we didn't really want to spend too much time on it, so are you guys cool if we just move on to a little bit of sadder news?
Yeah, that's fine.
yeah, so, as I said, sad news coming up. So, It's been announced that Bill Worrell, he's actually said that he's not going to be doing any more of the play-by-play commentary for the Houston Rockets on the road games this year. So it'll actually be taken over by, I think it said, the radio commentator, Craig Ackerman. And it looks like he plans to retire at the end of the year. So maybe coming up to next year, there's not going to be any more Bill Worrell calling the Rockets games anymore. So I guess before I ask you about your favorite Worrell moments, just like in general, how have you guys like enjoyed him calling the games for, I think, almost like 20 years coming, maybe even more, about 21 years.
I have to say that my big hope for this year is that they, damn it, let Calvin Murphy sit next to Bill Worrell and call some games this year, because Calvin and Bill Worrell is the city of Houston's callers. My childhood, the championship runs, all of that, that's Calvin Murphy and Bill Worrell. They were such a great duo. Calvin is an off-the-wall, crazy dude character, if you've ever listened to him call any games. He was, Hall of Fame player, so he has the experience, he has the personality, he was great with Bill. And then, unfortunately, he was accused, extremely falsely accused of some terrible things, was acquitted in court, but never acquitted in the eyes of the Rockets. It's a severe injustice that they did to him. He's a Rockets Hall of Famer, a legend. And I hope that since it's Bill Worrell's last year, they'll let Calvin Murphy come back and call some games with him. It'd be a shame if they didn't.
Man, I didn't even think about that. That'd be a great idea. Like, I mean, I imagine they'll probably do that. Like,
never underestimate the personal vendettas that the front office of the Rockets can hold against other people.
Well, no, doesn't
if that wasn't the case, Jeff Van Gundy would be our coach right now.
Yeah,
because
the
only reason he's not is because there's a personal vendetta between he and the owner.
Well, doesn't Calvin do commentary for the radio as well?
He's been on a few radio stations. I actually worked with him over at ESPN for a while. When he was with ESPN, they eventually let him go, and now he does some work with 610. But I'm not sure where he is right now. I know that if you turn your radio station, during basketball season to any of the sports stations, I'm sure he's going to get interviewed no matter where he is, because he's such a great personality, a great guy. And, obviously, like I said, Houston basketball legend. So he's going to be somewhere doing interviews. I'm not 100% sure where he is right now, but yeah.
Well, I think he does like the halftime show for the Rockets or something. Like, he's one of the people.
Oh, that's right.
For the television?
Like the television halftime
show. Yeah, he does like the halftime, yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know if he does like the halftime, but I mean, he's like, because I mean, you know how, like, what is it, like for TNT, like, you know, Shaq and Kenny Smith and those guys, like, they have, like, a segment in the middle of that. You know, I mean, I think they do something like that for the Rockets.
I don't know. I usually stream the games nowadays, so I haven't watched it in quite a while on television.
I think I'm only just remembering, because, I mean, I stream them as well. Like, I'm just remembering this from, like, 3 years ago when was the last time, I saw them, actually on, like, cable, but, yeah, I mean, that's... I'm assuming that's where he still is, because, I mean... Well, and I think, like, I've been to the games a few times, and you'll see him, like, in some kind of, like, booth somewhere.
Yeah, he's not barred from the stadium or anything like that, but he actually was for a while, so, like I said, I mean, I hope that he can be the color guy for Bill Worrell for some games, because that was a great combo. That was a Hall of Fame combo. Bill Worrell is still, a great, great announcer himself, but... He and Calvin were an unforgettable duo.
Yeah, I've never actually heard Calvin Murphy. I've never actually heard him call a Rockets game, so I might have to look that up on YouTube. But I have actually heard Craig Ackerman. Like, I had to look up a couple of his YouTube calls for Rockets games. Like you're saying about Calvin, he seems like the type of commentator that just goes ballistic when something good happens to the Rockets, because. He goes a little bit crazy when, say, like Harden drives to the basket and gets fouled, and he just like starts yelling and screaming. But I do like that that passion when it comes to commentators. So I think that'll be good if I ever catch like a road game that has the Rockets commentary on it.
Oh, you're talking about for Craig Ackerman?
Yeah. I was saying he goes a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like I've heard a couple of his like because he does the radio currently. So like I've heard like because I used to deliver pizzas, you know, back a couple years back, and he was like, who are the two people that he replaced in the radio? Like the and they were also like legendary radio guys. I'm trying to remember their names.
I have no idea.
Like 10 years ago. I mean, people listening to this are like, how can you forget their names? But like, I mean, there are guys that like it's. Probably like the Bill Whirl of like, you know, Rockets, you know, radio. Anyways, but I mean, they're like really like Craig Ackerman, like replaced, you know, and I don't know, or no, I think he does the radio commentary by himself. Or no, there has to be like someone with him. Like, that doesn't make sense. Anyways, because it was two guys that I was thinking of that did the radio before, but anyways, this whole point.
I have no idea who did the radio beforehand, but I just love the fact that he's the kind of guy that just like goes nuts when someone good happens to the Rockets. I think that'll be really interesting to see if he ever does a home game, or if I ever catch a Rockets road game with his commentary. So sad to hear that Bill Worrell will eventually be leaving, but He's been around it for a long time, and I think he's getting up there in age as well. So maybe it's time. He just felt it was time for him to go. So good luck to him, and he'll be missed.
Yeah, I mean I mean, unfortunately, I can't think of like because I think like one of the things that you put in the notes was like, do you remember like any famous like calls? Which I can't like think of any off the top of my head, but like I mean just I, basically like what Max was talking about like with him and Colin Murphy, you know, that was but yeah, other than that I couldn't think of any like specific things, but anyways,
I guess for me, like my favorite Worrell call was like he never really had like the type of call where he would just like go nuts like I was telling you about with Craig Ackerman, but he was always really knowledgeable, and I like the one call that I really enjoyed listening to him like well call was when Harden would either get a 3-point play or would like drive to the basket and get fouled, and when he always yelled, it's like, oh, it's that's how you get the 3-point play the Harden way. That was always my favorite, and I don't know, that's probably one of the reasons why I really enjoyed watching the Rockets, just because his commentary was so engaging, and like it wasn't like too over the top, but it was like really subtle, and I always felt it was really good to listen to.
Or yeah, I mean things like that, and I think I don't know if he was the one that would always come up with nickname. Like, man, who I'm trying to think. There was like we had Chase Budinger on the team a few years ago, and they would say like, "Hey, Bud, let's party," which apparently is like a movie reference, like to like I want to say it's like The Breakfast Club or something like that. I didn't watch like too many of those movies. I mean that's before my time, but I mean, they would come, and then just like the you know three point play the Harden way, you know that you know things like that, you know, that's
yeah.
Those are the things that I remember. You know, that's other not like a specific call, but you know.
As I said, he was always really like really he was a little bit toned down, but like it was always like you could always sense the energy and the love he had for the team, so. So that was always good to listen to.
Okay, so before I get, you know, murdered by Rockets fans, like I did Google it. It's Jim Peterson and Gene Peterson and Jim Foley. Okay.
All right.
I got that off my chest. It's like I just forgot their names. I remember who they were. Like, you know, they were famous for saying like how sweet it is. Like, you know, the end
it's
of all
the beautiful
all the
memories. Okay. But it's not about the names. It's about the beautiful memories.
Speaking of memories, like did you have any like favorite calls from Bill Worrell, Max, or like did you just have like a like anything that you loved about the way he called games?
I mean, it's kind of like a cop out answer, but the kiss of death from Mario Elie is like, you know, the most it's like one of the most memorable moments in Rockets history at all. So I'm not sure how much the call adds or detracts or whatever from it, but I mean, it's just, you know, one of those calls that everybody will always remember.
Nice. I definitely gone back and watched that a couple times, and yeah, it was pretty awesome. But I guess yeah. So as I said, it was great to have him for the time that we had him, and he'll be missed. But moving on, another a little bit of sad note. The man who plays Clutch the Bear has actually announced that he is retiring this season and won't be back for this upcoming season. I believe his name is Rupert Baldwin. And he portrayed Clutch since 1995. And I guess he felt it was time for himself to move on. So, I guess, do you guys have any cool memories about the Clutch the Bear? Like, he was always a pretty fun mascot to watch from, I guess for me, the coolest one was where he, like, did this ridiculous thing where he would just find an opposing fan of whoever the team was that was coming into Houston and just, like, for some reason just, like, threw a cake on his face. And I'm just like, okay, that was pretty cool, I guess. But did you guys have any cool memories of Clutch the Bear?
Again, it's like one of those things where there's nothing like specific. And when I heard that, I almost like, I don't actually. I mean, I haven't really thought about this too much, but like, because I almost feel like you can't. Because I heard they were having tryouts for like, you know, someone's going to try and like be the new Clutch, but like, I almost feel like, because like I'll watch the games and I'm assuming they'll use the same like costume. But it's like, I'll just kind of like know based off of like the mannerisms that he's going by. That's like, I'm like, no, I know that's not the actual Clutch. Like, he doesn't, you know, like, you know, throw the cake the same way or like whatever, you know. So it's like, I don't know. There isn't like a specific moment. Well, you know, actually, now that I think about this more, I do remember there, like, this is like, way back when I was like, I probably like 12 or 13. And like, I mean, I live like, what is it, 50, or I grew up like 50 miles away from Houston, and this was, I think I was at like a rec center or something, and like, you know, in the swimming pool part of the rec center, and like I see Clutch the Bear, you know, walking through. I don't even know what he was doing. I think he was trying to get something, and I don't even know why he was there, to be honest, like, but
just strutting around in his costume.
I remember like he was getting like something, like he needed the manager to like maybe get a key or something, or like some equipment or something. But like as he was like walking back out of the swimming pool area, like he pushed a lifeguard into the pool, like, which that's like something Clutch would do. So it's like, even when he's like not on the clock, he still like does, you know, weird things like that. You know, so, I mean, whoever, you know, it's like, I feel like in the tryouts, you know, they need like, that needs to be like one of the tests where it's like, okay, you know, like, you know, you have the lifeguard in the pool and it's like, okay, you know, are you going to like do it with the same energy and like, you know, have the same, you know, even though he can't make facial expressions, something, you know, somehow you have like a, some, I don't know, something, I don't know. I lost it, but it's like, he's just, I don't think they're going to push the lifeguard in the pool the same way. Like, you know, that the old Clutch would do it. I don't know.
How about you, Max? Did you have any, cool, Clutch memories or like, what were your feelings on him as a mascot?
I'm not 100% sure. I've never really paid attention that much to the mascot. I remember for a while we had like some like crazy rocket dancing guy that was on trampolines at the game.
Oh,
I remember
Turbo?
Going to a few games. Turbo.
Yeah.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not like Clutch is like some huge, you know, historic figure that's been around for 100 years or something. But I mean, yeah, he was kind of cool. It's just weird, you know, you see like a big blue bear when you're the Rockets. It's kind of odd. So, I mean, there's a lot of mascots that are like that in sports. You know, you're like, why do they have a dog if they're, you know, whatever, the Aggies? But, you know, so, I mean, it's not, didn't really pain me one way or the other. You know, he didn't, I have
yeah, I guess
really
the fact
no
that he
feelings
was a bear,
on it.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I mean, that does.
A mascot that never really made sense to me was whenever we played the Phoenix Suns, for some reason their mascot is like a gorilla, and that really never I don't understand the connection.
It's probably for Harambe.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a gorilla that was tragically shot at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Oh, jeez, okay. No,
that's like a more recent, you know, okay.
Yeah, no, it's more recent, but I mean, like, he lives on in our mascots and in our dreams.
Specifically the Phoenix Suns mascot, which is a different city, which...
you don't have to be from Cincinnati to love Harambe.
I can see that.
Alright, that was, as I said, as with Bill Worrell, a little bit sad that he's retiring, but I think, as you said, the Clutch mascot will be returning, but just the guy won't be coming back, but maybe he'll never be the same. So, we'll see how that goes as well. But yeah, moving on from the sad stuff to a little bit lighter stuff, more like basketball related stuff. I just wanted to run through a couple of these points that have come through in the off season. I was going to say a big one, but it's not really a big one because I know one of us are probably really excited about this one. That Jason Terry is not going to be back with the Rockets, and he's actually going to be signing with the Bucks. And I believe Maxie never really had a huge affinity for Jason Terry. So, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I really do like Jason Terry. I thought that when the way he dealt with the Dwight Howard personality and saga, yada yada, was really good. He's the only guy with the balls to call out the slackers in the locker room. So, I mean, I never really had an issue with him. You may be thinking of Jeff or my alternate twin evil brother that may frequent this podcast every once in a while, just gets unreasonably angry for no reason.
I see him a lot.
Yeah. I can't remember having a distaste for Jason Terry. Whenever he was on the Mavericks, oh my God, yeah, I hated definitely. That guy so much. He just killed us for out of nowhere for no reason. He was just amazing against us. He was like Hall of Fame, you know, Larry Bird, Steph Curry levels of godliness against the Rockets in the playoffs, and it was just so terrible to play against him. So I did hate him for sure then. I'm sad to see him go now. Not so much from a basketball standpoint, maybe from a locker room standpoint, though.
How about you, Jeff? Do you mind really one way or the other about Jason Terry leaving, or is it just like maybe it was his time? Like he's getting up there in age. Maybe it's time for him to move on.
Well, I mean, I guess like the only thing I can think of is that the only opinion on the Jason Terry thing I would have is. You do lose like a veteran guy and he probably could like, you know, still play like, you know, 10, 20 minutes, you know, as a backup. Well, I'm trying to think who's like, so we have Beverly, obviously. I'm trying to think of who the backup point guard currently is.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to bring up. Like, our depth chart at the point guard, shooting guard spot is really, really shallow right now. It's basically Eric Gordon, Patrick Beverly, and James Harden in terms of the guard spots. So we'll probably have to bring in another guard.
Well, yeah. Although I don't think Eric Gordon is like someone that you want to play. He's kind of like James Harden where like, I mean, he like, well, although he's not, I don't know, he's not known for like passing the ball really. So, but I don't know. I mean, he's just like a combo guard, you know, kind of guy, but I mean, not that like Jason Terry is like this great defender, you know, a point guard. So I mean, you know, maybe like you could throw Eric Gordon. I don't know, but I mean, we don't have like another like Pat Beverly that you know to bring in as like the backup. That's like just like a solid role player, you know.
But yeah, we definitely need to sort out that guard depth because like having three people to fill out those guard spots is kind of as I said shallow, but. I don't know. Jason Terry probably wasn't the answer for us anyway because like his defense had really fallen off in the last couple of years, and he could hit a three every now and then for us, but he definitely wasn't like as you said, Max, the knockdown shooter that he was in Dallas, I guess.
Or I think he was that one year.
Even his best stretches, yeah. He wasn't amazing for us. But like I said, he was a good guy. If you've ever heard him give a radio interview or an interview on television, very interesting guy. Doesn't give you, you know, sportsisms or cliches or platitudes. He speaks, you know, he says what he means and means what he says. He's a very interesting, cool dude. So there's that.
And it'll definitely be interesting seeing like how, as you said, Jeff, the veteran presence now that it's gone from the locker room, because like he at some points was kind of like our player coach for our team, and he really it seemed like at some points he got the team really like cohesive again at certain points. Like obviously last season was a little bit of a mess at a lot of the time, but he was kind of like a stabilizing figure in the locker room for a little bit, but. Now that it's all that leadership should be on James Harden, then that would be interesting to see this season.
Well, or actually, hopefully Mike D'Antoni as well. I mean, you would hope, you know.
Oh, I mean, in terms of players.
As many years as he. Well, I mean, I guess like because I think like we've had to rely on like players, you know, or I mean, just like the locker room in general, not like specific players, you know, like for leadership, but. But I mean, but then we also had guys like Kevin McHale that, I mean, not to say that McHale wasn't like a good like locker room, you know, leader as a coach, but like, you know, compared to like, you know, more established coaches, you know, like D'Antoni or Jeff Van Gundy, you know, those guys like, you know, could be just like a good locker room force, you know, as a coach, you know, just because they, I mean, just because like they've like, you know, they had more of a resume so that like, you know, kind of like how like, that's kind of like Greg Popovich right now where it's like, you know, he can get away with like doing some of the things that some of these newer coaches can't really because they don't have the respect, you know, that Popovich has. So, you know, I don't know. Hopefully that kind of balances itself out. You know, I guess we'll see, but.
Yeah, we'll definitely see how it goes this coming season. And now that he's with the Bucks, he can play with my Aussie brethren, Deli.
Oh, yeah, he went to the Bucks as well.
I hate the Bucks. Yeah, he's at the Bucks, and I think Del Vadova is like probably their starting point guard now. But yeah, now I can see how they gel together. But in seriousness, I'm not a fan of the Bucks, so screw them.
I mean, they're in the Eastern Conference, so I mean, you can have like a favorite Eastern Conference team or something.
I just remember that game last year where it looked like both teams were going to score like 200 points apiece, and we ended up losing that game, and it was terrible. And now I don't like the Bucks.
Oh yeah, like oh man, that was. Man,
yeah, one of many bad memories of last season.
that wasn't good.
No, it was not. Moving on from that, a little bit of weird news that we've kind of been trying to keep tabs on this whole off season. Demo, they still haven't signed Demo to a contract, so not really any new information about that. Just kind of like putting that out there that I think we all would like to see him back, but I guess there's not a roster spot for him, which is kind of hard to believe, or maybe they just can't figure out a contract. But I'm kind of worried about this. Like, are you guys worried if we can't bring him back? Obviously, not like a game changing player, but has really been a nice role player for us since he was drafted. So. Yeah, like, what do you guys think about us not being able to sign Demo yet?
I mean, it's not like it's a lot of it is like the restricted free agency issue because, like, I mean, so it's not unprecedented that, you know, a restricted free agent or, I mean, any free agent, you know, goes this deep into free agency, you know, before getting signed. But I mean, I think this is like longer than average, like that. So I mean, there is like some concern, but I mean, I guess like I won't like start seriously be concerning or blue or I won't. Seriously be concerned about this until, you know, we're like about to start preseason or the regular season and he's still not there. And then, you know, like, I mean, I don't even know what would happen at that point, but, you know, I imagine eventually, you know, they'll just kind of figure it out and, you know, and either he'll sign with another team or, you know, or he'll sign with us or like whatever happens.
Well, I guess like it's just, it's kind of weird. Like, obviously he's had his back issues, but still being a 25-year-old power forward / center that can shoot threes decently well, it's kind of hard to come by, and I would be kind of shocked if they didn't re-sign him, because the season starts in what, like a couple of months, so it's a little concerning to me. But as you said, like, some free agencies can go pretty deep into this period, so hopefully we can re-sign him. But I don't know, it just has me a little bit worried, because like he's one of the players that I've been really enjoying watching when I've been watching the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it kind of sucks that he had like the injury issues last year, because like the year before he had that like breakout season, you know, 2 years ago, and I mean if he can get back to being that guy, I mean, you know, we can start suddenly we have arguments of like, you know, should he be starting over Ryan Anderson or maybe, you know, starting at the center. I mean, because he could, you know, potentially play center as well, you know, for a couple minutes a game. But, I mean, he was kind of like, he had good stretches, but, I mean, he was kind of inconsistent, you know, last year. But, so, I mean, that's, I don't know.
I guess, oh, sorry.
Well, no, I mean, I was just kind of like ending my thought. It's just like, yeah, I mean, that's that's kind of like where I am, you know.
I guess like a cool thing for me, like reason that I'd rather bring him back was that in that series against Golden State, like he obviously didn't get as much minutes as kind of we really wanted him to, but he at points he was really our best player against Golden State. Like he had a really a really good series, like, individually, in terms of, like, how he played with the team. And I would be kind of surprised if we didn't bring him back, because maybe that's a secret weapon against the Golden State Warriors if we can sort out the other issues with this team.
Well, I mean, because, like, when he's at his best, like, he's, like, a decent three-point... I mean, he's not, like, an excellent three-point shooter. Like, I mean, Ryan Anderson is probably going to, you know, be one of the best on our team in that regard. But, like, you know, he's still, like, you know, an average, you know, for power forward, especially. And then, you know, he's like, tall enough, you know, that he, you know, he can play power forward, and, you know, center, and, like, kind of, like, he wasn't, like, an elite defender, but, like, you know, 2 years ago, you know, he was, like, a really solid defender. He kind of figured that all he had to do was make players shoot over him. And I mean, sometimes they would still make it, but, I mean, if he would just jump, you know, as they were going up for the, you know, the layup, you know, to avoid the foul, you know, that he really learned how to do that. And it made it, you know, just because he's like a 7 foot tall guy, and, you know, you just put your arms up, and, you know, it makes people difficult, or makes it difficult to shoot over you. So, you know, I mean, if he can get back to that, that'd be awesome. But, like, you know, I'm not, like, you know, I'm not, like, hoping, or, I mean, I'm not, like, expecting that's going to happen, you know, but, like, there is, like, the potential that he could, like, you know, get over his injury, and he seems like a, you know, like a hardworking type, so, you know, it seems like he'd have the right attitude to get over an injury like that.
Yeah, you'd hope so, and, I guess, just especially this season coming up with Clint Capela being our, most likely our starting center, like, having that backup center is going to be really important for us this year. Just to, like, because, like, I don't think Clint's at the point where he can play 48 minutes a night. And, having that backup's going to be really good for his development.
Well, and I think, like, at one point I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but I was like, well, maybe, you know, because, I mean, I guess this is assuming, like, you know, if Demo does sign with us and, like, the injury issues aren't as bad, like, I mean, he could actually start at this, you know, center hypothetically, because, I mean, Clint Capela is probably going to be a really, you know, solid player, you know, a few years from now, but, like, he's still kind of, like, a really, like, you know, raw player that, you know, like, you know, good, you know, solid rebounder, you know, okay at defense, and, I mean, he's just, like, a tall guy up on the offensive end that, you know, can catch, like, you know, alley-oops from Harden, you know, but, I mean...
I think if Capela is going to be a great player, he's going to start showing it this year. I think you start him, you give him as much time as you possibly can, because you need to know whether or not you need to go actively pursue a dominant inside presence very, very quickly, or if you've got somebody that's serviceable in Capela now.
I think if he just develops into, like, that serviceable, maybe just below really good center, that'll be good. But yeah, I think this year is the year that he should be able to really show what he can do. Because I said that Demo should be a backup center for him, but we also got Nene. So that is, we do have a couple of guys that can give him some rest on the bench. But I would love it if Clint Capela had a really breakout season, which is, I think, really, it's kind of early for a guy at a center position to really peak at his young age. Because I think, what is he, like, 21 this year?
Yeah, and I think this is, like, his third year, like...
yeah, it's just, yeah, just really year. Crazy. Just,
I don't know if I can... If peak is the right word, the word that I would use...
Oh, peak, yeah, that's a bad word.
But I think that if he's going to become an all-star caliber player... which is probably high hopes for him. But if he's going to become that, he's going to start... He's going to be a consistent starter by this year. But at the end of this year, you can't say that your starter is Clint Capela for sure and have a conversation about who's potentially your starter. Then he's just a backup and nothing else.
And I guess that's fine. That's fine. Like, it's not like it's... As long as he's not like the locker room... bad news that Dwight was. Like, he can't be any worse than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, that's good. I guess next time, hopefully we'll have a little bit more information about Demo, because I feel like we all want him to come back. It's just that whether or not they can organize the contracts to really make it work.
Yeah, right, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess the one point against it is that, like, at what point do you, like, need a player on your roster that's not a 3-point, you know, shooter? Like, at some point, I guess you just go full Golden State Warriors and, have one guy, aka Andrew Bogut, like that, or, but I mean, I don't know.
I know, I've seen
I
Andrew
see
Bogut
the
knock down a
argument.
three.
Yeah, no, he's not terrible at it, but my I'm just trying to say, like they've only got really like one big man, and then that other guy, I forget his name. He's another big man, but he's worse than Dwight Howard at shooting free throws, so he's a pretty big offensive liability. But I mean, is that the kind of road you want the Rockets to go, or do you think that they should have, or do you think that they should actually have like a big man? Because at this point, like I said, if Capella doesn't work out, then you really don't have a lot. Because we know what Nene is, and he's not a reliable starting kind of player in this league anymore.
I think, like, in terms of that, as you were saying, like, having a big man on the roster, like, obviously, it's not going to really help us for these first couple of years that he's here. But the guy that we drafted this year, Chinua Nwaku, he's more of your traditional big man, where he has a really good back to the basket game. Just to clarify for you, Max, he's the guy that does the granny free throws that you like.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I think if that guy is my dream candidate for future of the franchise. Like move over, James Harden, enter a granny shot machine, because I'm not joking when I say that the granny shot is the most underutilized tool in the entire world of basketball right now. It will make you and anybody listening to this, Jazz and Jeff, you go do this now too. Go out and shoot 10 free throws normally. Just, no, normal basketball, 10-foot goal, whatever. And then shoot those 10 same free throws by doing a granny shot. And keep in mind, you haven't been practicing granny shot your entire life. I guarantee you that 95% of people will hit the granny shots more than the regular shots as a free throw and not doing it. They're only doing it. The only reason people aren't utilizing it more is because of the public shaming that people would give them. But just ask frickin' Brent Barry, who was the greatest free throw shooter of all time until our own Callan Murphy came and broke that record. But he did a granny shot. The second best free throw shooting guy of all time, granny shot. If you can make more shots, you do anything you can to do it. And the granny shot is coming back, guys. It's going to start in Houston, and he's going to be the greatest free throw shooter center of all time. It's going to be amazing. You guys heard it here first on the 3 Minute of Weird podcast.
Ah, there's no over exaggeration in that statement whatsoever. Yeah, like I would love it if you became like a really good free throw shooter, because that is definitely something that we've been sorely lacking for the past couple of years. And maybe that can roll off on Clint Capella. Maybe we can get him to start tucking him up granny style. But yeah, like I think the Chinua Nwaku, maybe he can develop into that big man that we've wanted for a while. But we'll see how that goes as well.
Yeah, true story.
Cool. I was gonna maybe mention. I'll skip a little bit of the notes that we have here, and maybe go straight into this mini camp that James Harden has organized for the Rockets over the off season. I do enjoy that. Maybe this is a sign that maybe James is kind of stepping into that leader role, and it's really something that we've been wanting him to do for the past couple of years as well. But yeah, like, do you like that we're kind of like really publicly hearing about him organizing these things and really trying to build up the chemistry in this off season?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's good to hear. I mean, although, like, because I mean, I've heard people talk about Harden like not being a leader and that whole situation. But I mean, you hear that about, especially because like he hasn't won a championship. But like, I mean, you hear that about like all these young or relatively young players. Because I mean, like Harden's been in the league, a few years now, so he's not exactly young anymore. But I remember them saying that about like Dirk Nowitzki, like, oh, Dirk's soft, he's not a leader. And then like he wins, that title for the Mavs, denying the Heat. That was that year that LeBron and Wade and Chris Bosh like joined forces for the and
Yeah, like Jeff said, I mean, once you win the championship, all that quote unquote leader talk really goes away.
But so I mean, I think he's I mean, obviously this is a good thing to see, that he's doing things like this. But I mean, I and I mean, honestly, I think it's just one of those things where, you know, because how old is, like, Harden now? Like, you know, 26, 27? I mean, sometimes it's one of those things where, like, I mean, you, like, you get older and then just, and I mean, maybe it's like other people, you know, see you differently because, like, you've gotten more mature and stuff like that. So, like, it's easier to take on the leadership role and like, he feels more comfortable doing things like the minicamp, you know, like, you know, that
I'll
sort of thing.
I'll say, Jazz, that it's better than seeing him out with a Kardashian all offseason.
definitely.
It can't be, you know, much worse than that. I don't know if this is, like, the greatest sign ever, you know, that he's doing that. It is, you know, it's a heartwarming sign or, a good sign, I guess. It needs to translate onto the court. I mean, a few years ago, 4 years ago, you guys remember that, you know, Harden in the Olympics, everybody was talking about, you know, what a leader he's becoming and he's learning from all these guys and he's going to take over, you know, et cetera. None of the, you know, doesn't necessarily always translate. I will say that I know I bring up football a lot, but the Houston Texans new quarterback came in and he had one of these offseason mini camps. And I don't know necessarily the details of this James Harden one. He might have gone, you know, exactly like this, but he had a daily schedule printed out for all his receivers and running backs of exactly what they were going to do all day, what they were going to eat, where they were going to eat, when they were going to eat it. You know,
man, that's kind of hardcore. Like, I don't even know. Like,
yeah, what you know, what routes they were going to work on, what, you know, drills they were going to do, et cetera, et cetera. He took, you know, the whole off-season mini camp leadership thing to levels of extreme I've never seen before. If nothing else, it commands respect from your peers. It, you know, shows a level of preparedness that you do like to see. But anybody can be prepared and not necessarily perform on the field. I will say that in Brock Osweiler, is his case. He's, you know, new guy coming into the team, so that first impression is extremely important. And I think he knocked it out of the park. James Harden doesn't get a chance to make another first impression. And so that's possibly another reason why I'm not necessarily falling for this at this point. Like I said, it's better than, you know, last off season where he came in overweight, was with a Kardashian and he was partying. The whole off season last year was just him, you know, ooh, where is he now? You know, it's all drama, drama, drama. So this is a million times better than that. And so I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess.
I just go back to the last offseason where, like, there was that one thing that came out in the offseason. I think it was on probably one of those, like, trashy websites like TMZ, where it's, like, you see James Harden just roll out of a club, going into his limo after he had signed his Adidas deal, and just, like, drunk and just going off crazy, just saying, like, oh, Adidas is going to rule the world or some weird stuff like that. So, like, this is 100 times better than that. Like, while it may not translate so well, like, it's, as you said, Max, like, I'm loving that James Harden seems, in quotation marks, seems to be taking on a lot more of this leader role that it really is only his to take. Like, there's not really anybody else on this roster that can really say that they're a leader of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. They're really, like you said, Patrick Beverley, honestly, is the guy who seems like the leader on the court a lot of the time. But I think Patrick knows, and everyone on the team knows, that nobody is going to take that team leadership wise or play wise any further than James Harden can take it.
Yeah, I think in terms of vocal leaders, like Patrick Beverley and maybe even Ariza, they could be like the vocal leaders in the locker room, but in terms of what you produce on the court, like, it has to be James, and nobody else is going to be able to take that.
The vocal leader has to be the best player on the court, in my opinion, because everyone is looking up to that guy. I mean, you know, when he does a, you know, 360 turnaround layup with the right hand, you know, his offhand or something, gets the call for the foul and makes the free throw, you know, that's something that every single player on the court is going to look at and go, wow, that's, you know, that's the guy. And when Patrick Beverley is the leader, it just doesn't have the same effect, in my opinion. You know, it just needs to come from your number one guy. That's just the way I feel. And I don't know. Maybe there's no science behind it, but
I can definitely understand that. And just, like, not having the monkey on your back of a Dwight Howard, maybe that can really, like, give James the kick in the backside that he needed.
Meh.
Anyway, yeah, I'm going back to I think this is just like a random point, but I think it was like a Rockets blog that I saw doing like a comparison of James Harden from last year and this year, and like as you're saying with I don't even know which Kardashian it was. Like there was like a picture of him in the off season where he was like sitting in like a sanitized area with whatever Kardashian it was, and like doing a really sanitized workout. And then this picture that has just surfaced is like literally every single member of the Rockets team like really getting like a huge sweat on, and like this like run down, like dirty gym, just like really looking like they're just putting in the hard work. And as you said, James doesn't look, he looks pretty cut this year. He doesn't look like he's like carrying a little bit of extra weight, and just like having that like comparison is like night and day. And like I'm ready to buy into what this team can give us this year, even if it is a little bit presumptuous.
You know, it's probably because he listens to Three Men and a Beard and got just, you know, so shamed from, you know, the way we talked about him and his preparedness of last season that he doesn't want to feel that shame again.
Yeah, just this is the motivation. This is all the motivation you need. Just listen to us, people from the outside. Just like
we will shame you. If you listen to the podcast, we will. We have no problem shaming people. That's definitely true.
I mean, I'm cool with saying that me and you, Max, we probably ran Dwight Howard out of town.
If we didn't, yeah, I don't know who did. If we didn't,
no, I think it was us. We just like he just couldn't take the ridicule that we were throwing his way, and he's just like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I got to go home to Atlanta.
I don't know. Cool. I got nothing.
Wow, awkward silence.
I got nothing to like add to
Jeff's that. Jeff's like, I guess. Sounds good.
Jeff's just like, I like Dwight. He was cool.
Well, I mean, I didn't necessarily like him, but like, you know, I mean, I understand like why people didn't like him, you know, so I can't like argue, but I'm not necessarily, you know, I'm not like, I never like to get too negative or not necessarily, you know, positive either about like, you know, some players. So I mean, that's, I don't know.
Just, you're the reasonable one amongst us, Jeff.
Yeah, you're
not
funny.
Not necessarily crazy, reasonable, Jeff. But just like not go
crazy,
to,
man.
Yeah, not don't go, you know, too high one way or the other. You know,
see, Jazz's role is he's always crazy optimistic, and then until he's crazy non-optimistic, I am always extremely pessimistic, and then you are the even keel one.
Yeah, I guess I gotta like be the center. Yeah.
Perfect balance. cool. We'll just move on from all the player stuff, and I just had this one thing that I wanted to see if you guys had any thoughts on. Do you guys have a chance to see the leaked photo of the James Harden Adidas 1 shoes that came out?
Nope.
I don't remember. Like, okay,
thanks,
like,
Max.
Well. Well, because I think like the leaked photo was like some like dark, like maybe was it like a brown shoe or something?
It looked like a burnt shoe, a burnt boot.
But I think like the new pictures that have come out, it's like it's red and black or something. So I mean,
I did see those.
Which I mean, those
I will say that quote unquote leaked photos of shoes, what they really mean is, hey, here's this shoe design. Let's see how Twitter reacts to it and then redesign it.
Yeah, like it's, I mean, 50% chance, you know, it was like an intentional, you know, thing, you know, just to gauge interest.
Because I mean, like, I don't know how it couldn't have gone out like just some kind of like spy, because it was literally like a close up, like right in front of the shoe picture.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's marketing. It's marketing, Jazz.
But I obviously you didn't see it, Max. But Jeff, like the shoe didn't look great. But then I did see the picture where it was colored in with I think red and red, white, and black was like the colors on it, and it actually looks really good when it's colored. So, I guess if anybody listening to this like didn't like the original picture of the shoe, like I would suggest you try and find that other quote unquote leaked picture of the colored shoe, and it looks night and day better than the one you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like because like if it had been like the original, you know, picture, then I mean, that's not a good look. I mean, although I mean, we're talking about shoes, so I mean, it's like, you know, like what
this
are we?
This is hard hitting news, Jeff.
I mean, although I guess this is a podcast about, you know, about like a people playing a game, so you know, I don't know. So I mean, that's all kind of pointless, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But like, you know, so I mean, I guess I can agree that like, you know. Like those pictures, you know, it wasn't the best, but you know, So there's that, but I mean, I guess, yeah, so fortunately, you know, it does look like, you know, it does look more normal. I mean, I can't really, like, speak towards, like, whether this is, like, a good design or bad design or whatever. I mean, because I'm not, like, that into the shoe scene that, like, I know, like,
what's... Oh, you're a snake ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, I have, like, my, like, one or two pairs of shoes, you know, and I mean, I only have, like, the second pair just because, like, the first one I wear to, like, work, and then, you know, if I just need, like, you know, general, like, walking around shoes, you know, because I don't want to, like, wear the first one, you know, the work shoes out, like, you know, too much, but I mean, otherwise, yeah, you know, it just needs to, you
those
know.
Actually look like great, yeah, shoes to wear around. That you linked me the picture, Jazz. Those, I mean, they're nice and plain, and I mean, if I'm going to go wear a shoe, I mean, if I'm going to go on the court, then I guess, you know, you want a flamboyant looking shoe or whatever. But the shoe you linked me, the first, I guess, leaked one, that's a shoe I would wear, you know, just around town.
Yeah,
I don't mind the plain look.
None of us are like huge sneaker fans. Like, I think I was the same as you, Jeff. I had like maybe like three pairs of shoes in total, but I don't know. Like, I really don't care about the shoe. Like, if this is what James wanted to wear, then like that's cool. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
as I said, hard hitting news stories. None of us are really like huge sneaker fans, so we'll just move on to probably the last thing that I have left on the schedule for this off-season podcast. We just wanted to do a little bit of like points about the upcoming schedule. Like, did you guys have a chance to look at the schedule just like in general, like just to see what games we had coming up?
I mean, I didn't look at it too in depth, but like, what was it like? The apparently we're going on the road a lot in the beginning of the year, and then things like that. I mean, that's typically, yeah, that's what I look at, is just the beginning of the year. Is like, is it, because I remember last year we had like that hard schedule, like the first like 7 games and then like 20 games where it was like all non-lottery, or I mean all lottery teams.
Yeah, the first point that I guess we wanted to bring up was, yeah, as you alluded to, 7 of the first 8 games of the season are on the road, so doesn't seem like a very favorable way for us to start the season, so that's not really what we wanted, but that, like, that's just something I noted. And 4 of the teams that we play are actually playoff teams, or at least they were last year, in Dallas, Cavs, Atlanta, and the Spurs. So I guess just quick thoughts on, like, is this not really the ideal way to start the season, guys, especially the abysmal way we started last season.
Throw them right into the fire right away, test their mental toughness, I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to balance out. You're going to have, like, you know, tough stretches like this, and then, you know, slower. I mean, like, last year, I think where we lost a lot of our games was, like, our easy stretch of the season, like I said, it was that, like, you know, like, middle of November to, like, middle of December. Like, I think we played, like, 2 non-lottery teams, and I think we went, like, maybe 500 or under 500 even during that stretch, which, like, you know, then once the schedule last year, you know, started to ramp up, you know, we were still playing 500, even though, like, technically maybe the team improved, but we were playing a tougher schedule now. So, I mean, it's about, like, you know, surviving those, you know, tough stretches. And then, I mean, you have to take advantage of the times when the schedule's easy. So, you know, hopefully they can do that this year. I mean,
I just remember the first few games of the season last season, and that was where we lost like 3 games in a row by 20 points, and I kind of had a feeling where the season was going to go after that, and I hope it doesn't. Hope we have a better start this season is kind of what I'm getting at.
Well, yeah, definitely you don't want to lose, you know, 3 times by 20 points. Yeah, I mean, I could see us, like, you know, going under 500 for that stretch, but I mean, you definitely don't want to be like losing by 20 points, you know, multiple games in a row. I mean, that's, I mean, I think, so what was it? I mean, one of them was Denver, one was Golden State, and I forget. I think the other one was like Miami maybe or something. So, I mean, like, 2 of those teams were at least playoff teams, but like, you still don't want to lose by 20 points. Like, that's not a good thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, as I said, not a great way to start the season, but I think I might be siding with you a little bit, Max. Like, now that you've brought it up, like, just throwing them into the fire, maybe we can see what this team is made of sooner rather than later. Maybe that mini camp will be what we needed.
Yeah, there was a little short documentary, and once again, I'm always the guy who brings up NFL comparisons. But there was a documentary about the San Francisco 49ers who won like 30, I want to say like 30 games in a row on the road. And it's like a long standing record. And they talked to the players about it. And they said, you know, why were you guys so good on the road? I mean, they were obviously good at home, too. It was a historically great, you know, long time team. But they said, you know, when we're on the road, it's us and the guys. It's the guys, the coaches. We take the jet together. We go to the hotel together. We eat, we sleep, we do everything together. It's just us. It's us against them kind of mentality. You don't get that at home. When you're at home, you wake up in the morning with your wife and kids. You go drive to the stadium, then you play. On the road, it's, you know, you can really foster that that bond. And honestly, I'm not sure if it's, you know, always the case, because I mean, historically, home teams do slightly better at home than they do on the road, period. But, you know, I think there is something to be said about that camaraderie buildup that can be done on the road. And with the type of problems that we had last year with this team, I have no problem with it being 9-10 on the road.
Yeah, this is kind of like the thing that would make, like, if we lost, like, the first two games, I think last season the group would have probably folded, and then we wouldn't have played well for the next couple of games. So I'm hoping that maybe the mental toughness is a little bit stronger this season. And even if we do drop those, or maybe the, like, that first couple of games, like, our first game is against the Lakers, so I'm hoping that's a sure win.
Yeah, it's like, we got to, I mean, although we played Denver at the start of the year last year, so yeah. I mean, I don't want to, like, make any promises.
But yeah, like, if we lose like one or two of those first, like, say, five games, like, I hope this team is a bit more mentally tough, that we can maybe ride out like a losses, even if they aren't like what we desired in the start of the season.
Yeah, can't cool. Argue with that one.
All right. Another note that I had is this will probably interest you, Max. On November 6th is when we get to play Dwight in Atlanta, and he comes back to Houston on the 3rd of February. So those are the games I think you'll have marked in your calendar to, even in the Houston one, maybe you travel down to Houston so you could, I don't know, throw like some popcorn at him.
He doesn't matter enough to me to even want to do that. At this point, he's dead to me. I never respected him as a player when he was here, and I definitely don't respect him as a player now that he's with Atlanta.
All right, so that was a great conversation. how about you, Jeff? Like, are you kind of are you interested about his return to Houston in the 3rd of February? Do you think he'll get a? Do you guys think he'll get like a warm response, or just like a lot of boos?
Or, I mean, that's the thing that I want, because I don't think, I mean, Houston hasn't
will
been
he
like
be the new LA
like they haven't been
to
known
Dwight.
For. I guess at least the Rockets fans, like, they haven't really been known for, like, you know, booing players. I'm trying to think of, like, the last times when that situation might have come up. I'm trying to, like, think of...
Oh, like, when was the last time, like, a player, like, left us? Because I know, didn't we trade away, Jeremy Lin, and we traded away,
Chase
McGrady, so, like, we can't really play
like,
them.
What is it, like, Drogic, you know, Kevin Martin... or Kyle Lowry.
So, like, do you guys remember a time where like a high profile player left us? I guess that would probably be Chandler Parsons, wouldn't it?
But I don't even think did we boo Parsons?
I don't think so.
Quote,
maybe.
High profile, unquote.
Sorry.
High. I'm trying to think of
if you ask a lot of the Houston Rockets fans, he was like the second coming while he was here.
Okay, so we're like really high on him.
Yeah, no, people loved him when they, you know, like I said, people thought he was going to be like, you know, white Michael Jordan or something, but you know, people like to get a little too hyped up.
But he couldn't block Damian Lillard's shot in the playoffs. But yeah, like I guess like so you think like he'll probably get a pretty respectful response when Dwight returns on, unless Max is in the crowd.
I don't know if he'd get a respectful response. It'll probably just be like. You know, yeah, I mean, probably like no response. That's if I have to predict one way or the other, probably just, you know, I don't think he'll get like booed or anything. I mean, they obviously like, you know, maybe people will have like signs or something, or, you know, and obviously people will talk about, you know, him coming back to Houston or like when we go to Atlanta, they'll be talking about that. But, you know, and now that I think about it, like, I wonder what, like, because I mean, you, like, players shake hands after the games, like, you kind of wonder if, like, you know, like Harden and Dwight are going to say anything, or like some of the other players are going to, like, you know, talk after the game, and you know how that works out. But I don't know. It should be interesting to see, you know, how it all plays out.
Two things. Like, one, like, if there is like a moment where James and Dwight shake hands, I'm gonna take, like, make that like a poster and just keep it on my wall, because I think that, like, that might be pretty cool, actually. Because I don't know, just seeing them face to face after the history in Houston, I think that would actually be pretty cool for me. But the one thing that I am looking forward to when Dwight comes home to Houston. Nah, this was never his home. When he comes back to Houston, I want us to immediately take Clickapella out of the game whenever he's in there and just hack Dwight like a motherfucker.
Or keep him in the game, and it's like a dueling, you know, free throw shooting thing.
Nah, we have to. No, I don't want to duel it. I just want to see someone else suffer for Dwight Howard's free throws.
Well, I mean, we're still going to see Clint Capella. I mean, I guess, like, it's not as painful if he has to go to the bench, because he wasn't, you know, he's not as good as Dwight is, you know. But I mean, so I mean, I mean, the free throw shooting is going to get a little bit better, just because I think, like, especially, like, because now it's like Beasley, and like if Demo gets back with the team, you know, a lot of those big guys can shoot free throws. So you can't, you know, we really have like the one guy that now that's like a really horrible free throw shooter.
Just speaking of Dwight's shooting, I just thought of this now. Have you guys seen his training videos that he's posted with Atlanta, like, over the offseason? Like, have you guys had a chance to see those?
No, absolutely not.
All right, well, let me just describe it to you. The training video is basically Dwight Howard starting at the 3-point line, the trainer that he's with passing him the ball, and he takes like 2 steps in front of the 3-point line, and he shot maybe like 20 of those in a row, and made maybe like, I think maybe 15 is probably a conservative number to say, I think he made. So I'm kind of I'm thinking that they're trying to like expand his range to like maybe being an outside shooter a little bit, and that's kind of disturbing to me that like. That now Dwight's left Houston, he seems to be putting in that work, and I'm not sure that'll work with Dwight. I don't think he'll ever be a good shooter outside of maybe 10 feet.
Yeah, I think it was like that with Orlando too. Like, you had people saying like, oh, he's adding like a mid-range game, and I mean it could happen. Like, you've definitely seen players like add some, because I want to say like Jason Kidd, like, you know, the guy, I think he's the coach of the Bucks right now, but like, for his whole career, like, he played with like the Nets and the Mavericks, and was like, for the Nets, he was like they're still the Brooklyn Nets, but they were the New Jersey Nets back then. He had like a bad 3-point shot, and then like went to the Mavericks and had like a really, you know, suddenly shooting like 40% from the 3-point line. So, you know, people, you know, and this is like, you know, well into his 30s, you know, he's adding something new to his game. So, but, so I mean, it can happen, but like, I wouldn't place bets that he's going to shoot that well from, you know, outside of, you know, 5 feet.
Yeah, like, I don't know how much I like that comparison, because, like, that's Jason Kidd, and this is Dwight Howard. It's a little bit of a different story.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, like, it's probably, like, you know, you can name maybe a dozen players that have, like, added something, really significant to their game that, like, you wouldn't have, like, expected them to improve on, like, when they got past 30. Like, I'm not talking about, like, Luis Scola being able to hit threes, because, like, he was a solid outside shooter already, just, you know, really solid from, you know, mid-range. Like, so, I mean, you can kind of see getting good from behind the three-point line. But, I mean, Dwight shooting jumpers when he's, like, never been good at that his whole career, I mean, that'd be kind of crazy if he suddenly started doing that.
I swear, if he knocks down a three on us, I might, like, lose my shit.
Because he's hit threes before, obviously, but not like,
yeah.
It's always been like, you know, rushed shot clock situation. I'm trying to remember what game, maybe it was either like a playoff game or like towards the end of the season where like he hit a three that just, it happened to be a situation where like, it was like late in the shot clock and for some reason, he was like in the corner and like shot and made a three. I don't remember how many years ago this was, but like, so I mean, I'm not saying like he's good at it, but like, you know, I'm not gonna like be that surprised if he hits like one three. But like, if he starts like hitting multiple threes, like if he's like doing like a pick and pop situation or something, it's like, that's, I don't know,
That'll be so weird. I think I remember the video you're talking about, where I think like the one I saw was when he was in LA, and he just like he was some for some reason camped in the corner, and they threw it to him, and he made a three. And oh my god, he had the stupidest face afterwards, like oh, so my god, I made it, guys! I'm so surprised. It was very silly.
Yeah, so I'm in
that. Okay, let's move on to this before like I become on max level of hate. Oh, I'm getting so angry. I guess there's a couple more points to finish off the schedule analysis that we've got going. This is like a little interesting. We probably don't have to spend too much time on this one, but I thought it was interesting that the Dallas Houston season series will have finished it by the 28th of December. So really early that for some reason that we're finishing the series. So I don't know. You don't really have to say too much about this, but I thought that was an interesting point to point out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know to make of that, because like usually, because I mean we play all the division teams like, you know, four times, and I mean usually I think they like purposely like put like, you know, like one or two of each of the teams, you know, like in March and April, just because like that, you know, especially if they're, because I mean the Mavs are still going to be like a solid, they're not going to be, maybe they miss the playoffs, but I mean they'll still be like a competing, like a team competing for the playoffs, so like, you know, those games might have like, there might be like a, I mean, like it did this past year, we played Dallas, you know, towards the end of the season, and that was like a game that like actually mattered. So, but so it's kind of surprising that, you know, I don't know if that's like a you know, just like something happened with the schedule or, you know, but
yeah, just a little bit of an odd thing that I think, because yeah, as you said, like I think the last Dallas game was probably in the last couple of weeks of the season last year. So weird that they're trying to wrap it up early.
And I think anyway, like, even our last Spurs game was like, and maybe in March or like or something like that. I mean, it wasn't, I don't think we played the Spurs like right at the towards the end of the season, but like it was like in like March or April or something like that. So I mean, it's, I don't know.
The only Spurs game that I recognized from last season was on Christmas Day. That's the only one, well, I remember.
Yeah, I mean, you remember that, and that was like the second one I think too. And then like we proceeded to like, yeah, because I think, or wasn't that on the road too, or was that at home?
That was at home.
Yeah, so because I think it was like we lost the first one, and then the Christmas Day game happened, and then like the next two were like, you know, like in February or March or something, or like, and we like, you know, I think we like lost the, like they were both like blow type losses or something, and so it's like, okay, you know,
most that, likely, as I said, I don't remember them. I choose to block them out. Yeah. So next, this is the last point that I had on the schedule. I wanted to let people know that the first game against the DWS is on the 2nd of December. That'll be an away game, so we'll be playing them at their home. This will actually probably be interesting for us, because I'm interested to see how we, by then we'll probably have a little bit of how the team is going. By then, like I don't know what I'm saying. Like we'll have a little bit of an idea of how this team is and whether or not we'll probably be able to contend with them, and conversely, like we'll see how they're going as well with the addition of Kevin Durant. Are you interested to see how this goes? Max or Jeff, whoever wants to answer it.
Man, I mean, I can't really, because I mean the Warriors kind of have had our number like for like the past, like basically since that, you know, they made that jump, you know, to like a 60 plus one team. So
yeah, to be fair, they've had everybody's number at that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, like, because, like, last year, I think, didn't we split the season series against, like, the Thunder? So, I mean, although, I mean, yeah, I guess, like, the Warriors versus the Thunder, like, you know, that's, like, different levels of greatness, so, but I mean, or what was the stat where it's, like, we've only, you know, in the last, like, you know, like 15 or so games in both the regular season and postseason, we've only won like three of them or something. So it's like we're like 3-12 or whatever it is. So like
three. I only remember us. I remember us winning one. I don't know. Yeah, I guess we won one against them in the last playoffs, and then the playoffs before that. I think we won two games. I think. But I don't think we've beat them in the regular season for ages.
It might actually only be two. Now that I think about it, I might have like given us too much credit. Yeah, because I think we've gotten swept in both the regular season series. I remember we got swept that year that we went to the Western Conference Finals, but that was like the weird like injury, you know, plagued year. But Yes, I mean it might be like two and whatever the however many losses it's been, but
maybe we won one regular season game against them like a couple years ago, but I definitely don't remember it. Like I remember, I'm pretty sure we only won one against them in the playoffs each time.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, definitely we won one against the playoffs both years. Well, yeah, but I mean, if you go back like 3 years, like I think we actually had their number, or maybe it was like a lot more even. Like I remember, like there was one year where like we almost broke like the single season record for threes. Like, and I want to say like Demo was like trying was even shooting threes. Like, he wasn't known for three-point shooting, and because it wasn't like a blowout game, but I mean, it was like maybe we were up by 10 in the fourth, and the coach was Mark Jackson back then, and I think, I don't know if he like said, like, you know, we're going to like, you know, be more physical, and, you know, and as kind of a way of saying, like, okay, you can't like disrespect us shooting threes and, you know, trying to break the record when the game's, you know, like you're up by 10 or something. Because I remember there was like an issue where like, I want to say Draymond Green, but like back then he was like in his first or second year, like collided with it was either Demo or Aaron Brooks or one of those guys. Like I'm trying to remember who it was, but and there was like it wasn't like a flagrant or anything, but like just because of the situation, that I remember that being like a thing. And then now obviously Draymond Green is like a much bigger deal. anyways, those are like
yeah, he's a pretty good player.
I mean, I only remember his last name was Green. I'm like, was that the same guy that like had the issue? You know, and I mean, obviously, the past couple, you know, postseasons, you know, he's like kicking everyone in the nuts and you know things like that. You know, maybe it's not a surprise that that
yeah, gotta start wearing a steel cup around that guy.
But
I guess that's a little bit like all the points that I had for the season schedule. Was before you do a closeout, was there anything you guys wanted to bring up, or do you think we're all good for the off-season podcast?
I got nothing else to say.
All right, well, cool. I hope we do this again sooner rather than later, because this was pretty fun, and I guess we'll just see what information comes out in between now and whenever we plan on doing another podcast. I can't promise anything like in terms of a date, but the season does return in a couple months, and there's a couple preseason games. I just saw the schedule, and apparently we're playing someone called the Sharks. I don't know what that preseason game is, but maybe it's a Chinese team. But that'll be interesting to see as well, I guess. No, we don't really get too invested into preseason games, but we'll see how that goes. But just to close it out, we're on iTunes, so if you just search for three minute a beer, you'll be able to find us pretty easily. I would like it, or we would like, if you rate and review the show, just helps more people find the show, and maybe I don't know, helps grow the community of 3 Minute a Beer listeners as large as it is. You can find all the post game recaps on multiplesources.net/HoustonRockets, and there's a whole bunch of other team shows there. Like I think there's a Phoenix one going pretty strongly right now. Cool. You can find the Twitter account for the show at 3menandbeard13 on Twitter, and you can find my Twitter account is at jazzkeegan, JAZZKEEGAN. Now, I've actually been posting a lot on there more than the team account, which is pretty bad on my part. You can email the show at 3menandbeard@gmail.com, and if you want to like post us a question or maybe something we can talk about on the show, that'll be great. We'd love to hear from you guys. Other than that, go Rockets, and I know, and in AFL terms, the West Coast Eagles are in the finals this year, so go Eagles as well.